It's the Radio Dawn Podcast. I am the aforementioned. The views expressed are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily reflect the views of the platforms that host this podcast. If you have a problem with what I'm saying, I can't help you. Shall we? Let's. Recently, The Guardian posted a story about some of the 45th President of the United States ramblings. I don't think you can call them speeches anymore. They're ramblings. And he's putting out ideas about what he could do in office if he gets elected. Some of these cross the border into bizarro world. I'm going to see if I can try to break them down as we go along. Starting with instituting the death penalty for drug dealers. This isn't new. We keep hearing almost every generation that drugs are the scourge of humanity and they must be eliminated. I understand and I sympathize, but here's the thing. Killing drug dealers is not going to solve the problem because you still have demand. And demand will be satisfied. Let me repeat. And this has been proven time and time and time again. If there is a demand, it will be satisfied. No one is putting a gun to someone's head and forcing them to smoke crack or snort cocaine or take fentanyl pills. No one that I know of. People want this stuff for whatever reason. And what people want, people will get. That is the thing that we tend to forget when we start doing our general moralizing of just about everything. What people will want, people will get. And if society deems it bad, they'll get it anyway. They'll just keep their mouths shut about it. Because we want this fantasy of a nice, pristine world. It doesn't work like that. There's creating the Trump Reciprocal Trade Act. Now, I'm quoting Trump here. If China or any other country makes us pay 100% or 200% tariff, which they do, we will make them pay a reciprocal tariff of 100 or 200%. In other words, you screw us, and we'll screw you. Well, how bad are we being screwed by our Chinese overlords here? I checked, and we found out that the tax that China imposes on U.S. goods, it's not 200%. It's not 100%. It's not even 50%. It's just 5%. 5%. Now, yes, there is a concern that China is going to flood the U.S. car market with definitely superior electric vehicles. Read BYD. But they're not charging 100 and 200%. They're only charging 5%. Where does he get his information? indemnifying all police officers and law enforcement officials. My suggestion would be to go to Keith Olbermann's Countdown, the episode of last Friday's, I think it was, Thursday's Vintage. Basically, Trump wants to create his own private police force, let's just say. I wouldn't use the G word, but if this thing winds up on social media, I would like for this thing to stay on social media. This is frightening. The term jackboot thugs comes into play. Rebuilding cities and taking over Washington, D.C., where, he said in a recent speech, there are, quote, beautiful columns put together through force of will, whatever that means. Because there were no, quote, caterpillar tractors. And now those columns have graffiti on them. What does that mean? His view of American cities is kind of like the view of what architecture looked like to the guys who hired Howard Roark in the movie The Fountainhead. Howard Roark, played by Gary Cooper, was this visionary architect along the same lines of a Frank Lloyd Wright. And he designed this bank building. It was beautiful. I mean, it was ahead of its time even for 1947, whenever this movie was made. And then they said, what we'll do is we'll put some columns and some gargoyles and stuff like that. It was a horrible, terrible, disgusting mess. Mr. Roark, rightly so, walked out on them and their money. This is what he wants to see in America. Columns and gargoyles. Issuing an executive order to cut federal funding for any school pushing critical race theory, you know, teaching people that people that are not Caucasian are actually human beings, transgender, and other inappropriate racial, sexual, or political content. Donald Trump wants to make sure he will teach you exactly how to think. My brain is the only thing I know that belongs to me. And he wants to take that away. He wants to take away the ability for your children to wonder, to ask questions, to say, why is this? This is more frightening than you could even imagine. And of course, moving one day voting with paper ballots and voter ID. Let me just say this. I used to live in Louisiana. You want to stop fraud by going back to paper ballots? There are paper-filled ballot boxes oxidizing in rivers and lakes and bayous and the Gulf of Mexico. The suddenly disappearing ballot box is a time-honored tradition passed on from generation to generation. And Donald Trump wants to go back to that, thinking that's going to stop fraud. It's not going to stop fraud, because there's always been an element of fraud in almost every election. That's the thing nobody wants to hear. Oh my God, the election's rigged. Yeah, right. Almost every election is rigged, but the reason why we vote is they can't rig an election with a whole lot of people voting. It taxes their brains. It's amazing. And here's the thing that I guess the article, very well written article in the Guardian by Rachel Langang, kind of this. These are not his ideas. These are not Trump's ideas. This is from the Seven Mountains cult itself. From every single uber right-wing think tank that basically controls Trump and basically ran his office during his presidency. Somebody once said that no president really actually does much because they don't know that much. Even if you're a senator or a congressperson or even a vice president, when you become president of the United States, you have absolutely no idea what the hell you're doing. And that's why who that president hires to be his cabinet, his advisors, are basically really the most important things. Really the most important. So as bizarre as the things that Donald Trump is saying on the stump right now, he is being fed this, I believe, in my opinion. He's being fed this stuff. And unless we show up, if it takes going into the polls, if it takes going into in person, whatever it takes, we need to stop this. It's going to take every single person who has registered to vote to show up. If you get that mail-in ballot, send it in the same day. Do not lollygag. Do not delay it. When you get it, you sit down, you fill it out, you send it in the same day. If you choose to vote in person, do that. But you have to show up. You have to vote. We need a turnout, total turnout, of at least 85%. None of this staying home or none of this thought pattern of, oh, the lesser of two evils. Well, there is evil. And then there's Satan. Your choice. This is it. There is no tomorrow. We need to vote. Because if we don't, this ceases to be America as we've known it for 200 and some years. And God help us if that ever happens. There is one thing I do want to mention, only for a moment. Thank you very much for staying with this this long. I am in TikTok a lot. And first off, I would just like to say, if you believe in free speech, call your senator and tell them not to vote to ban TikTok, because the full court press on that is starting. And they're treating we who use TikTok to spread, you know, goodness, light, truth, and all that good stuff, they're treating us like children. And we need to show them that we're not going to take that. And that if they take our toy away, we can take their toys away. You know, like their Senate seats and their congressional seats. We have memories, and they're very, very, very long. But here's the thing. I'm in a TikTok live room, and there's this woman who basically is challenging people to tell her, why do you think that transgenderism is such a horrible, terrible, disgusting thing? And there's one thing that kept coming up. Because, you know, people think that kids are getting stuff chopped off, and that's not happening. That's already illegal anyway. But they keep thinking, oh my God, these are just young people. Their brains haven't fully developed into adulthood. And that happens after you're 25. You're 25. That's when you're supposedly an adult. Emotionally, of course. Some people, of course, never get to that maturity, and that's why Dr. Laura was in business for so long. But, but here's the thing. If what you're saying is true, if a human child does not reach emotional maturity, their brains are not emotionally mature, by the age of 25. My question is this. Why do we send them to war at the age of 18? Why do we send children who are, according to you, not emotionally prepared for a lot of stuff, we send 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds, 20-year-olds, teach them how to murder and butcher until, because the adults don't want to do that. Why do we do that? Back in the 60s, you know, when the voting age was 21, we basically asked a very, very good question. If I am asked to go out and kill people at the age of 18, why can't I make decisions on my life? Or maybe we should just delay sending people into the military until they're 25 or 26. Just asking. This is almost over. The torture will not last long, but I just want to mention one thing. As of last Tuesday, this podcast will no longer be featured on Google Podcasts for a very simple reason. There are no more Google Podcasts. That app was killed off on Tuesday. If you had Google Podcasts, you might still be able to access it and transfer your stuff over to YouTube Music. That's where all the podcasts are going to be. But if you can't do that, all you have to do to follow us is just look for Radio Don the number one, either on YouTube Music or on YouTube itself. We're there. Or you can just follow us on our Linktree/Radio Don. That's linktr.ee/Radio Don. Don't forget the dot. Finally, a little history lesson while talking about transgenderism and all that stuff. I will be 69 one week from the date that this is being recorded, which means I remember a lot of stuff. And one of the things I remember is a man by the name of Jack Parr. She was the host of The Tonight Show before Johnny Carson ever was. He was known as a stand-up comic and a little bit, he did a little acting, but basically most people knew him as a raconteur, an expert storyteller. And what does this have to do with transgenderism? Patience, Grasshopper. Follow. By now, many of you who have studied television know that Jack Parr told a story about a young lady who was trying to find the facilities. Back in those days, those facilities were known as water closets. Or the WC, as it were. And I do not remember the exact story, but it did involve a priest. And I think it was a wayside church, which was, you know, shortened to be known as WC itself. So the preacher the pastor who was trying to give directions to this lady, when she says, "I'm looking for the WC," she meant water closet, he meant wayside church. Various really funny pieces of confusion ensued. Look for a water closet on YouTube. Archie Campbell, who was one of the regulars on Hee Haw, basically retells that story. It's a much longer story than it was on NBC. That was the joke that got Jack Parr in trouble when that joke was told. That night, it was not broadcast. Suddenly, there was an NBC News special report on something, which really didn't rise to the level of special report. In other words, NBC censored Jack Parr on that story. It really wasn't a naughty story. It really wasn't a dirty story. It was just a cute little story about stuff. And Jack Parr got angry. By now, you probably know what happened the next night. The entire audio portion of that show that was recorded off the air of WMC in Memphis is available on YouTube. You can find it. That was the night he quit on air. And I championed that because if you know me, I'm pretty much an anti-censorship person. I am more anti-censorship than Elon Musk. But within that resignation, you might say, by the way, he came back 6 weeks later. Bills started piling up, I guess. He mentioned, in a bit of self-righteousness, I must say, he mentioned that he didn't want to do things that were exploitive, sensationalized. And there was a lot of pressure on him to put a certain person on as a guest. That certain person was named Christine Jorgensen. Now, if you're not as old as I am, and you don't know who Christine Jorgensen is, ask almost any trans person, and in terms of history, they might mention who she was. An army private who felt that they were born in the wrong body, and they went overseas and they got the operation. It wasn't that simple. There were things that happened. You know, it was over a matter of years where this happened. He wasn't a teenager. And I don't think it was illegal, but it was certainly controversial. And Jack Parr says, I would never have her on. And at that point, whatever respect I had for Jack Parr, I kind of lost. Not totally. He's still a great figure in the history of television. Still a very funny guy. But there was an opportunity there that Jack Parr missed. If handled correctly, people would have had a chance to learn about this. To learn about how it was that this person who was born one way, felt that they were in the wrong body, the wrong gender, and they sought to correct that. An opportunity in the 1950s was missed. What would have happened if Jack Parr said, and he had the ability and the tools and the talent to do the type of interview that should have been done. To actually have a discussion with Christine Jorgensen during a time in which she was basically hot news, and instead of being exploitive, there'll probably be some because that's how we are, to learn. What would happen? What would have happened? Would our attitudes towards transgenders have changed if Christine Jorgensen wound up going on the Tonight Show? She went on to do a lot of other interviews, and she's written books and things like that. And she, like I said, she is a transgender icon. But it says a lot about the 1950s and what we call moralism back then. And that's the America that people like Donald Trump and the Heritage Foundation and their acolytes want to bring back. And that is why I'm scared for this country. And that's our podcast. I will be 69, as I said earlier, in a week. Your support means a lot to me. If you can help us out with a little bit, when you go to our link tree, first thing that's going to pop up is our piggy bank. If you can throw a little something in that, I really would appreciate it. But if you can't do that or don't want to do that, the best way you can help us is to listen to this all the way through. You don't have to actually listen to it. Just let it play to the end. You can also subscribe to us. Ring the bell. There's, you know, you ring the bell, you get all the notifications. You know exactly when we're doing anything live or taped or whatever. Give us a thumbs up. Comment. Be nice. Be nice. Anything that's spammy or bullying will be removed. But outside of that, I'm open. I'm open to constructive criticism. I don't do this every week. I don't do this every day. Just, you know, do it when the feeling hits. So that's why this one's a little long. I had a lot to say. So I thank you very much for listening. Next time you hear me, I'll probably be 69. And I'm bracing for all the jokes that are going to come. Otherwise, have a great weekend. We will talk to you soon. Take care.